tell us a little bit about your own career and how you achieved SES status. Have you been in government? Must be a long time.
I've been in government almost 31 years. Started in at Department of Health and Human Services in a research position. Moved up to become a manager, supervisor, and heard about a position at the Census Bureau. Applied. Actually got chosen for the first SES position I ever applied for, which is, I think, rather unusual.
So that's the one you have now?
No, actually, I'm in my third different SES position, still at the Census Bureau.
Wow.
But I've moved around within the Bureau.
Okay, now the Census Bureau, you know, that can be a pressure cooker, especially when we're getting close, or now we're in the midst of a 2010 or the decennial census. And there was a lot of controversy. There always is, and Congress gets involved, and there was a new director coming in. You're kind of the guy probably that held things together behind the scenes while all of that was happening throughout 2009.
Not me alone. I have a boss, an associate director for Decennial Census, and he's really the face of the Census Bureau to the outside for the Decennial Census in addition to the director. I kind of deal with the inside story, making sure people work together, get the work done.
And when reading all the news accounts about this, you know, portable device or that count issue and all these things that get talked about so much and on the Hill, do you ever feel like on the inside, if people only knew, it's not really that bad?
It's our responsibility to tell people how it really is, and we try to do that. We've been very open and transparent. We're very happy right now. We've gotten 95% of the non-response follow-up workload done. We have a few more field operations, and then, of course, crunching the numbers back at headquarters. We're pretty confident right now. Maybe cautiously optimistic would be the best way to say it.
Okay, and the American Community Survey, that's not as famous as the decennial count, the every 10-year count, but that's really where a lot of the information, the deep information about the makeup and economics and so forth of the country comes from. Tell us about the work there.
That's right. The American Community Survey was designed to replace the long form on the census, but to provide long form information every year. And this 2010 is actually quite an important year. We'll be issuing for the first time census-like data, long-form-like data for areas as small as census tracts later this year, probably in November, December. So keep your eye out for that. A lot of small-town mayors will be very excited to get data.
Now, also, I think as part of that is some experiments on using the Internet for
right.
getting survey data. How's that going? What's the plan there?
We have a test of actually collecting the American Community Survey data on the Internet planned for next spring. And from that, we'll learn how it worked, what the right we actually have four experiments embedded in that, best way to ask data on the Internet. And then we probably will adopt it for the ACS and then adapt it for the census.
So there's a lot of work ahead, in other words.
Oh, a lot. Well, I've been working on the 2020 census since summer of 2008.
And so I guess if things work out well internet-wise on the American Community Survey, then that could, via the internet, then that could be moved over to the 2020 count for the first time, right?
Exactly.
And I guess through its history, Census has always been a major new adopter of technology. Weren't the first computers in government for the Census?
Well, the first civilian use of computer was the Census. 1951, we got one of the first UNIVAC computers. Actually, the punch card methodology invented by Herman Hollerith, he did that for the Census Bureau, and, of course, his company involved into IBM.
Sure.
We did the first digital maps of the country, and now you see MapQuest, Google Maps, Yahoo Maps. That's all based on original Census Bureau work. So we do try to be in the forefront of technology.
We're talking to Daniel Weinberg. He's Assistant Director of the American Community Survey and the Decennial Census at the Census Bureau, which is part of the Commerce Department. Let's get to the topic that you're here for today on your panel, and that's how to succeed once you get to the SES. You mentioned team before. How much of your time as, you know, number two or three person there in the Census Bureau and having the team under you, how much of your time is spent mentoring workers coming up through the ranks?
I'd say that at least half my time is working with people on their problems. I'm not so much a manager as I am a facilitator, a coach, a mentor, as you say. Try to get that, help them figure out how to solve their problems, who to talk to, who to learn from, and getting people to work together is really the most important part of my job.
And what do you find that people that are coming up through the ranks or might be new to government, what frustrations do they face that you can help get out of the way for them?
A lot of people have good ideas, and they sometimes run into supervisors who are a little stuck in the mud, can't accept those new ideas. They need to find an outlet. They need to find somebody who can talk with, whether it's a peer, a different supervisor in a different branch. I encourage people to form a little group to talk about ideas, and if they really have a good one, my door is always open.
So there's a way to get those ideas up there. You just may have to work at it a little bit.
Definitely. I mean, we had 600 ideas from dozens and dozens of people to work on for the 2020 census. We can't do research on all of them at the same time, but we've got a list. We're keeping it.
And I just have to ask you this one, as someone who has probably hired people for the government. Looks like for initial hiring round of screening, they're getting rid of those knowledge, skills, and abilities essays from OPM, KSAs going away. Is that a good thing?
Well, I'm lucky right now in that I have mostly SES who work for me, so I have to worry about the ECQs, the qualifications that people fill out. And those are pretty good as signalers, as screeners. And once they get it's the one-to-one discussion to find out what people's philosophy is, what how they go about working with people that I really try to find out about.
And if someone has had that experience and they, by chance of good luck and good work, reach the SES level, what do you tell them? What would you tell them? Here's what you need to do to succeed now that you've reached that kind of high level above the GS system.
Well, the first thing I tell them is not to make any changes right away. Their predecessor hired some good people. You have to figure out how to work with them, how to form them into a team. I urge them to maybe go off on a retreat with the senior leadership for a day, facilitated retreat, learn people's strengths and weaknesses, what their goals are. And then when you've been there maybe a year, you can start thinking about moving people around or reorganizing. But
so watch them make a few plays first, in other words.
Yeah. See how they do in the job before you try to assert any authority, if you will. And authoritarianism doesn't seem to work. It certainly doesn't work for me. You want to be a role model, if you will. You want to teach. You want to lead them. And not tell them, you go there, do this. It's not quite like a football team.
And looking back on your 31 years, there's been a lot of change, and the attitude by the public toward government changes, it waxes and wanes. And right now there's kind of a mixed view. People want government to do more than ever, and yet polls show people are skeptical about government. And what's your view on powering through those vicissitudes as a career goes on?
I think you only join government if you want to be a public servant. You want to make things better. And whatever the environment is, if you keep that goal in mind, I think you can get through ups and downs.